Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Previously on Everyone Talks to Liz. Liz sits down with the CEO of the Crunch Fitness franchise, Ben Midgley, to share how his love of fitness fueled his success.
Hi, everybody. Yes, it's Lizzie. I'm allowing you guys to all call me Lizzie from now on. All right. Every single successful person you see out there, I mean, every single one, they're all different. We've learned that from doing 120 plus episodes of Everyone Talks to Liz here. But these different traits make them winners, right? But they all, I've noticed, have one thing in common. They hang on for dear life, even when they get stuck in a serious crunch. So I'm not really talking about inherited wealth here, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about self-made stars who started at the very bottom. Say, for example, I don't know, a guy who goes from sweating it out, cleaning grimy workout machines, to then becoming a personal trainer, to then founding a hugely successful, gigantic gym franchise. That sounds a lot like a guy named Ben Midgley, who through blood and a lot of sweat did exactly that, started by cleaning workout machines. But how did he do that? How did he go from that to founding Crunch? Let's ask him. Ben, welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz.
Hi, thanks, Liz. Thank you for having me so much. Thank you for that very generous introduction.
Well, Crunch Fitness, it's the good, it's the cool, right? I mean, we've heard about this for years. My dad was a member back in the day on Sunset Boulevard. Ben, reach back to, well, I call it January because I noticed in January what was going on in China. But reach back to the moment you first began to realize something's going down and what it was like when you guys, along with the rest of the entire industry in the world, were hit smack in the forehead with the lockdowns. What was
I remember it exactly. It's one of those moments, right? Like you said, that people know exactly where they were when it happened. We were actually having a franchise advisory committee meeting on the 12th of March down in Jacksonville, Florida. And we had a lot of our top franchisees in a room. We were just started talking about, you know, what if someone with COVID comes into your club? Because that hasn't happened yet. There's just been a lot of talk. And sure enough, while we're meeting, one of the franchisees got a call. Somebody with COVID came into the club. They just called us and told us. So we immediately stopped everything on the agenda and you went into the planning around this COVID matrix, which including the franchisees, company executives. And we came up with this matrix. Well, what if someone is infected? What if you have first level exposure, second level exposure? What if it's a member? How do you communicate? What do you do with employees? So on and so forth. So that changed the whole agenda. And then that night, we spent the entire evening, probably till 1 or 2 in the morning. Obviously, we had a drink, but working with a different department. With the different departments trying to get information out to all the franchisees because they don't know what to do at this point. We had to get marketing materials, communication with members. You had to get information out. If someone comes into your club with COVID, how do you handle that? It was all about cleaning supplies, too. This was during the mad rush for hand sanitizers and wipes and anything you get your hands on. So we're trying to source that out. And then we got all that done and it was out first thing Saturday morning. And then Monday morning, the game changed again because everything started to shut down. So then you go right back into this whole different level of planning, how to shut down hundreds of businesses, communicate with millions of members, more shutdowns the next day, all the billing, all the confusion. And no one's had a playbook like that before. We have disaster planning, right? Whether it's an earthquake or natural disaster or something else happens in a club. But so you have to apply what you could from that learning or those plannings to this situation. And look, we did the best we could. And luckily, we came out of the other end, I think, as strong as we could have for a fitness company, but it was tricky.
Your whole climb has been a sort of facing all different kinds of challenges, none, I am sure, as serious as this. But I do want to rewind the videotape or Super 8 film going back that far to the beginning. You and your love of fitness and where it all started.
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, sometimes it's tough to talk about yourself a little bit.
Go on. I'm forcing you.
But when I was in high school, I went off to take a year off after high school. So I went to work at a ski resort, and I was a teenager that maybe made some of the wrong decisions. I was more focused on having fun than other things. So I remember the night I was sitting in Vermont at the ski resort I worked at, and I looked in the mirror, and I had hair down past my shoulders, and I was about 160 pounds. I even smoked cigarettes back then, you know, among other things. I don't mind saying that. But I said, you got to do something with yourself. You got to change your life. So I went out and just started running and running and running up and down mountains, whether it was snow or ice or rain or whatever. And back in the day, people probably don't remember. You remember those big CD players, those portable CD players? You'd stick it on the side.
Walkman.
Yeah, big CDs. You had to bring 3-4 different CDs if you only liked one song for the CD. So you'd be running along and you had to change the CD up. So anyways, I just tried to get in shape, and then led me to say, hey, well, what can I do for business? How can I get a job doing this? So then just started to learn about the industry. And eventually I decided to go to college, which I never graduated from, too. I never made it out of college. And I went out to Santa Barbara, California, and I got a membership in exchange for cleaning machines in a gym, just so I could be around it, and started to meet a lot of members and get an appreciation for it from really the ground up. And then from there, I worked in front desk. I became a personal trainer. I started to manage a fitness department and went through every level that you could in health clubs, from single unit operations to multiple unit operations. And I got recruited years later after winning Salesperson of the Year, which was an industry award for selling memberships. I sold more than anybody else in the country. This is 1996. Got recruited to go to 24 Hour Fitness, which was the biggest health club company in the world at that time. And went out there with all sorts of aspirations, and you know, almost got swallowed up by the company. And then some of the folks that I still work with now, Jim Rowley, who's an industry giant, and Mark Mastroff, you know, I was going to leave the company. And they said, hey, you can't turn a battleship, and you know, on a dime. Things have to happen slowly. So, you know, you're here to help be part of the change and bring about a different sales approach and things like that. And obviously that company was way ahead of my speed, but learned a lot from them along the way. And then spent about 10 years there and got recruited to become the president of Planet Fitness, which is our number one competitor now. Spent a few years there. Didn't quite love the culture. Fantastic company. We did a lot of good there. So I left there and then took about a year off, and then got recruited to come back in here with Mark and Jim and another close friend of ours, Craig Pepinot, who I worked with for years. And said, hey, Crunch is a great brand. It's been around for a while. Can you start a franchise company with that? So we of course said we can. And then we went in and tried to find a space to put that business model in. And we went into what's called high value, low price, which is selling a really well-equipped club for membership pricing of $10 and $20. We're up to about $30 now. And you know, our sales pitch in the beginning was, hey, Crunch just came out of bankruptcy. We don't have any clubs. And we don't have anything really to show you about the success of what you may do, but trust us, give us a shot and let's see if it works. So luckily some people jumped on board, and then, you know, 10 years, 12 years later, we've got 1300 franchises sold. It's $700+ billion business. We're opening about 50 stores a year now, hopefully get back up to 100, 150. And then, hopefully have a great, great exit at some point. We've got a wonderful partner in TPG Growth. So it's been a great ride, you know, very fortunate along the way to have some really intelligent people that helped me out and gave me a chance. And here we are.
Ben, when we talk about being in a tight spot as you grow something, I am sure you had to talk more than a couple of franchise owners off the ledge during the pandemic because people were so scared. What did you draw upon to get through that and help them? And quite frankly, I'm sure help yourself through these difficult times.
Well, one thing we have always done well as a company is foster relationships with the franchisees. And that's been my personal focus as long as I've been in business. Like I said, I didn't have much of a formal education, but I do know if you treat people right and you you know, are on a genuine level with people who you work with and work for and work underneath you, then things tend to work a little bit more forgiveness either way. Sometimes you're right, sometimes they're right. If there's disagreements, you'll end up finding out a solution that ideally works for both parties. And that's always sort of been our philosophy. So we have a very, very open relationship with our franchisees. We have a philosophy called stay small to grow large. So we try to have less franchisees that own more franchises. So we're able to talk to everyone on the network pretty quickly if we have to. So I think because of those two things, it was okay not to have every single answer for the franchisees as something like this came along. So we brought information out as fast as possible. We got their input and then we kind of distilled that, got the right message. You had to lead from the front in this, obviously, right? Because you can't go poll everybody and see what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So we had to lead from the front, but then make sure once we put those initiatives out on the ground, they work. Because the franchisees will give you feedback. Well, this doesn't exactly work the way this plan says. Okay, well, let's change that. And let's get this fixed up and get something new out to people. So communication worked really, really well. And then the franchisees started sharing a tremendous amount of information with each other, which is, you know, something of any franchisor should really encourage, right? Because the strength of your network is the strength of the brand. And that worked out really well. So luckily, you know, we were doing 80% of the things right, I'd say. But at the time, you don't know how many things you're doing right or as well as somebody else or not as good as somebody else. And as we look back, you know, fortunately, we were, you know, more ahead of the curve than a lot of our competitors.
To listen to the full episode, go to foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.